Chunky spent all day of the six on the road with the ambulance loaded with wounded. They arrived at the Brook Station Hospital, and he remained with them that night. The hospital joined the band tent. Chunky changed his roles between nurse and band member as quick as duty called. The removal of the wounded from the battlefield began on the 4th, temporary hospital having been established in a brick house on the left side of the road from Chancellorville House to United States Ford. May 17th, Sunday. On this day, it was reported that Stonewall Jackson died last Sunday. The intelligence reached us through Dr. Junkins from a neighboring regiment. The doctor was a brother-in-law of the deceased. There was a man in the company who thought he was sick. The rest of the company thought he was playing off sick and was trying to get into the hospital off duty. He was a regular out-and-out of hospital bum. He reported to the doctors, was examined, and came back to the company with a gun in a cartridge box, ready to fight. The doctors had treated him with blue mass, which was a dose of milk, sugar, rose oil, honey, and 1 grain of mercury. This concoction guaranteed a surefire case of the backyard trots. This treatment was enough to cure up any man in short order. Chunky chuckled to himself.
Well, the fellow got a great send-off and made himself scarce in a hurry. Near as I could tell, he was cured.
Comrade Hess was struck by a mini-ball above the knee. The ball went straight through, carrying the bone away with it and splitting the bone as it crashed through it. He was lying in a little tent and apparently unconcerned and without pain. When Chunky found him, he said,
"You must go to the hospital, to the operating table, to have your wound examined."
Chunky had hoped the ball had gone around the bone, but it looked bad. The holes were opposite each other. Comrade Hess was afraid to go to the table for fear the surgeon would take off his leg, perhaps unnecessarily. So he wanted Chunky to speak to the surgeon about it. He cheerfully agreed to do so. The doctor gave him the most hearty assurances that he would do no wrong to the patient. After placing the man under chloroform, he ran his little finger into the wound and, taking a pair of pinchers from his vest pocket, he pulled out the splintered bone several inches long, showing that the bone was badly fractured and, in fact, carried clear away. Chunky took a long piece of the bone and showed it to Mr. Hess to show him that the amputation of the limb was an absolute necessity. He seemed to be satisfied and the operation was performed. About this time, Chunky saw that the actions of a man, which he could not understand. The soldier had a gun on his shoulder. The line of battle could not stop him. The provost marshal could not stop him. Chunky saw a cavalryman strike at him with his saber, which barely missed his head, it being warded off by the gun barrel on which the blow struck. But this thing, in the shape of a man, did not wink or dodge or march through the guard as if there was nothing in his line of retreat. And for all Chunky knew, he was still retreating instead of going to the hospital. What happened to the soldier was as old as war itself. The ancient Greeks called it divine madness. During the Civil War, it was called soldier's heart. Comrade William Taylor was wounded early on in battle, and he lay for 2 days on the field. He usually carried a horn and played with Chunky in the band, but that day, he carried a gun. He was picked up on the third day by the ambulance corps and taken to the barn used by the 11th Corps for a hospital. Dr. Neff had loaned out Chunky to help them with removing the wounded men from the field. After the chief surgeon looked over William, he thought there was little or no hope for him. So the patient was left in the corner of the barn, alone, to wait for what comes next. He was just left there to die. That is where Chunky found him with a B-flat horn case for a pillow and his overcoat folded and placed under his head. A blanket was thrown over him. But in the meantime, he had lost his coat out from under his head and his blanket had slopped from him. Blood was running from the wound and from his eyes and nose. His lips were so swollen he could not speak. But he was conscious. Conscious enough to recognize Chunky's voice. By prying open his mouth with a spoon, Chunky fed him some soup. It was the first food this soldier had taken since he entered the battle 4 days before. Oh,